football on off the ball.
I'm going to go up on a limb here, and if you want to just go off raw instinct and just emotionally how I feel about it, I have felt since for the Hungary game actually, but the Hungary game definitely reinforced. I think we're going to the World Cup. I think our name is on the cup. I think we're going. I think we're in that space.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Good evening. We are officially 48 hours and 45 minutes away from kickoff at the Fortuna Arena. We've got one last off the ball for you before we hop on a flight to Prague first thing tomorrow morning. And there is a pep in the Irish step today because Swede Glenn Nyberg has been appointed to referee Czechia versus the Republic of Ireland on Thursday night. That's right. That is the same Swede who sent Cristiano Ronaldo for an early bath last November in Dublin in the greatest moment in the history of the Aviva Stadium. I dearly hope that the man who was making the crying gestures at Cristiano Ronaldo has got himself a ticket for the Fortuna Stadium on Thursday night, because good things are coming. Our number is 087-9180-180. If you want to get in touch, Arthur is here. Hello, Arthur.
Hello.
Ben Symes is here. How are you doing, Ben?
Very good, on.
Good news just keeps on coming today. There was reports in a Czech media outlet that Tomáš Souček is going to be benched for Thursday night. There is reports that match fixing is ravaging the Czech football pyramid at this stage as well. Multiple arrests have been made in Czechia. The whole footballing nation is falling apart.
Yeah, not to be the pessimist, but I did see someone make the point that Italy were in the midst of a match fixing scandal when they won the World Cup in 2006. So, you know, maybe the Czech, the Miroslav Kubek might be telling the players, you have the opportunity to repeat history here, you know?
Yeah, follow your forefathers and kind of emulate their unbelievable success in 2006. I mean, it's only natural that we would get slightly carried away at this point in the week, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, what was the name of that website again?
It is infootball.cz.
Yeah.
Infootball.cz. That's the website that has got a leak on the Czech team, and they have information that Souček is going to be dropped from the team for tactical reasons. There is three different midfielders that Miroslav Kubek would rather start with on Thursday evening. So much like the Irish rugby journalistic fraternity getting the Ireland team on the eve of the team announcement, maybe in football that CZ has their finger on the pulse in a similar manner.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they're holding him back. Maybe they're going to get complacent.
For Denmark,
exactly. We'll need him on Tuesday.
The big one in Copenhagen next Tuesday is what they're thinking.
Exactly.
Well, that'll be in Prague, though.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
that's also what they're thinking. Like, you know, we breathe by Ireland, then we have a second home game. Back. Yeah. I did think it was funny in that article. They said that they... this article is the new gospel. They did say that our information tells us Tomáš Souček, and then they all said it was clear from watching training on Monday and Tuesday, like, is the Czech national football team just letting the media watch the whole training sessions here? Like, how can they tell that from their 15 minutes of open training that you get over here, you know?
The headline run through Google Translate, of course, is Souček is out, full stop. National team coach Kubek is preparing a surprise for the playoff against Ireland. So he's going to start on the bench, and they actually say it's actually in bold on the website. According to sources at infootball.cz, the West Ham player should already have been informed of the decision. But it could also be seen during Monday and Tuesday's training sessions. So, I mean, the Pavel Sulch, the Lyon player who's just come back at the weekend, is going to be in that midfield. He's arguably their best player outside of Patrick Schick, maybe. Maybe he is their best player. Lukáš Probod and Vladimír Darida, who's just come back to the squad, are going to be the midfielders. And, of course, Darida persuaded to come back, according to this website, by Pavel Nedved, as much as the manager Kubek as well. So we're going to dig deeper into this with Vinnie Firth after 9 o'clock.
It's a considerable amount of depth, isn't it, comparatively?
Just imagine, in that one position.
Yeah, but imagine, like, I would not to be, I think you'd definitely prefer if Tomáš Souček isn't playing, but by the same token, if it's tight, I do not want to see him coming on with 20 minutes to go. Just not hide that presence. Even the most recently saw him, I think, funnily enough, in the West Ham Man United game.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very good footballer.
He is. I think sometimes people kind of forget that when he's playing in the Premier League and the standard is so high in centre field. He's an excellent footballer. Yeah. Really, I was really kind of shocked. I know, obviously, they had their off-field issues with captaincy being stripped and being given to Vladislav Krejci, who I actually noticed that There's a lot of Czech fans not happy about that. Krejci was given the captaincy, you know, the Wolves centre half, because he's a former Sparta player, and there's pictures of him doing certain things to rile up Slavia Prague fans. So the Prague footballing fanatics are a bit split on the awardings of the captaincy to Ladislav Krejci. So you never know.
There's some fresh Republic of Ireland audio that we're going to get to this evening, but we want to start with the breaking news tonight. And the breaking news comes straight from the social media accounts of one Mo Salah. Have a listen.
Hello, everyone. Unfortunately, the day has come. This is the first part of my farewell. I will be leaving Liverpool at the end of this season. I wanted to start by saying that I never imagined how deeply this club, this city, these people would become part of my life. Liverpool is not just a football club. It's a passion. It's a history. It's a spirit I can't explain in a word to anyone not part of this club. We celebrated victory. We won the most important trophies. And we fought together through the hardest time in our life. I want to thank everyone who was part of this club throughout my time here, especially the teammates, past and present, and to the fans. I don't have enough words. The support you showed me through the best time of my career, and you stood by me in the toughest time, is something I will never forget, and something I will take it with me always. Leaving is never easy. You gave me the best time of my life. I will be always one of you. This club will always be my home, to me and to my family. Thank you for everything. Because of all of you, I will never walk alone.
Hey, there he goes at the end there, Mo Salah. I think very dramatic sort of farewell posted on the Tuesday of an international break. I mean, not surprising. Massive news at the same time. I don't think many people would have expected him to go for another season at Liverpool. The fact that maybe he'll make it to the end of the season is something that people would have been surprised at last October, November, before everything kind of went to pot for him in the first half of the season. Now he's rediscovered some element of that form since coming back from AFCON. But I think everybody would probably agree that maybe moving him on and actually getting something for him would be the best way forward.
Yeah, I'm kind of a little bit confused. He has a deal until the end of next season, if that were led to believe.
Yeah.
So obviously, and that's fine, I presume it's not a shock to the club that this is happening. But I always kind of was told, or kind of gathered, that like their reason for re-signing him on such big wages was that they'd get a good payoff when they sold him. But I don't suspect you're looking now at a situation there where people are going to be coming in tripping over themselves to necessarily pay a high transfer fee.
Because he's already told that he's
kind of like the cat's out of the bag, really. It's not like you really have to prize him away. You can't go back now.
You would assume that something has happened, that
perhaps
they have allowed him to speak publicly about this, because it would just be vindictive for him to do this off his own bat, wouldn't it?
I mean, that would be funny. See, he has been kind of described as a little bit conniving before in his actions on how these things, that would be one step further.
It would certainly put the club on the back foot in any negotiations. Is it Saudi? Is that what we expect?
I would imagine Liverpool are still going to command a pretty huge fee. And I mean, the big thing is here as well, I still think for that name, if Saudi were to come in, you could easily command a decent fee for him. When I say decent, like, I'm talking, if a year left on his contract, huge wages, you could see a Saudi could play in 40 million for him, 45 million for him. The only issue is Saudi have kind of changed their model where they go for young players, but Mo Salah is the exception to that rule, in the sense that, like, he is king of Arab football, the board. And who else is going to take on those wages, like astronomical wages, for a player of that age? I can't really see anyone other than Saudi Arabia taking on those wages, unless he's willing to take a cut and go elsewhere, which is, I suppose, the only kind of thing I can see where he doesn't go to Saudi, is if he's willing to take a huge pay cut.
I doubt he is, given he's got one more year left on his contract.
No.
And I'm not sure what the sort of assurances would be regarding playing time for next season. I can't imagine that Arne Slot has come to that conversation just yet. I'd say he's thinking week to week rather than ahead of next season. So you'd imagine that something has happened in the background here that allows him to ensure that he's going to be earning similar next season. And Saudi would certainly be one of the places that might come to fruition. So Mo Salah, a remarkable career in the Premier League, often described as one of Liverpool's greatest ever players in the Premier League era. So the statistics so far anyway, 255 goals, won every single major trophy. And yeah, 33 years of age at the moment, 2-year deal last summer, and probably not hitting the heights that he would have expected to hit this season, despite the fact that a 33-year-old is always going to be diminishing returns at some stage. But still an opportunity for him to go out on an unbelievable high by winning the Champions League with Liverpool this season.
Yeah, it's obscene when you hear those numbers and you hear, are you laughing at Liverpool's chances of winning the Champions League?
Yeah, yeah. I guess there's a chance.
There is, they're in the last eight.
Yeah, they are, yeah, I guess. you carry on. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I hadn't really heard anyone mention that in a while.
Oh, there's still a live possibility too.
It is, yeah.
You think Paris Saint-Germain will knock them out?
I think they'll do damage to them, yeah.
What are we saying?
We want to put a number on it.
Put a number on it, yeah.
I don't know, but like I can't be, unless they're like, it's almost that Spurs thing last season when it's their league form and their European form has so little in common with one another. And this is why they're able to look so comfortable against Galatasaray and then get beaten pretty convincingly by Brighton. I think a serious team will come along and go through them for a shortcut.
And Paris Saint-Germain certainly are
a serious outfit, believe it or not.
Not that bad.
Heard it here first.
Yeah. I think those numbers, when you read Salah's numbers, sometimes you kind of forget because of the seasons that he's had, this season. Even when you think back to like this time last year when not giving him a contract seemed inconceivable, like it was a sure thing to give him a contract, and even a 2-year contract, you kind of thought, oh, that's completely reasonable. He's going to keep up this form for another 2 years. Like, to be in a conversation, not just in a conversation, to arguably be Liverpool's greatest ever player at the end of his career there, like,
yeah.
I don't think it would have been in his wildest dreams to have conceived that when he joined Liverpool in 2017.
But he's not, it's a weird one where I don't know, maybe it's just my own perspective. I feel he gets under, his reputation isn't what it ought to be for what he's done. Like, what he's done is off the charts. Like, he's unbelievable. Like, it's all those types of things. Even you see the things recently with some of the Bruno Fernandes things when they're talking about the assists and everything else or whatever, the goal contribution, or all these. And it's always, even I think in his time, and the only two people close to it are Mo Salah and Kevin De Bruyne. No, I think someone like Kevin De Bruyne gets an awful lot more love in general than even Mo Salah gets. And I'm not saying he's underrated or anything like that. I think everyone knows how good he is. But I don't think the scale of just how good he is has been really and truly comprehended or appreciated in the sense that others, you know, like even Haaland after first season or two was like, this guy's the greatest we've ever seen. It's an incomplete kind of thing because you don't know how everything, the two stories will end. But what he's done has been off the charts. For the initial perception of who this guy was and what Liverpool were getting to what he's achieved, it's unbelievable. Like, he's as good as anyone. Like, you for impact and things, you talk about Henri, you talk about Cantona, whatever else, all these different guys. He's on that upper echelon. I don't think there's anyone in the league who could comfortably say has been better than him. I genuinely, thinking about it, like, maybe there's someone you're forgetting, but I don't think anyone, certainly over any sort of prolonged 3-4 season spell, anyone who spent a good time in there, I don't think you could say many people have been better than the heights he's reached.
Why do you think that is? That he's
over a 3 or 4 year period?
Like, oh, so say like different things. So you have different, so say someone like Ronaldo, obviously, has had a more complete career and had two or three seasons of unbelievable excellence with Man United. So you could put that in, but I'm just saying, certain people, I suppose, come and go or are hot for a little while. But certainly of the guys you're testing over any sort of decent period, Henri, whoever else, Rooney, all these guys, Kane,
who sustained
brilliance over a while.
Henri, Shearer, Kane are probably the three automatic examples because they're up there in terms of the Golden Boots one. I think Henri is the only other person to have had four, and they're all in the condensed, whatever, 5-year period.
I think he's clearly of that level.
Of that level, yeah.
Yeah, and it's nitpicking once you get into who's better than who, but I don't think there's anyone you could say is definitively, oh no, he was way better than Mo Salah.
Interesting line in the Liverpool statement on this. The forward has reached an agreement with the Reds that will see him close a remarkable 9-year chapter at Anfield. The forward has reached an agreement with Liverpool. So maybe it isn't a situation where they need somebody to come in and buy him out of his contract. Perhaps there's a mutual agreement on this contract at the end of the season. So let's see what actually comes out about that. But that basically voids us saying that Saudi could be the only potential suitors for him if they have to buy him out of a 1-year deal. Let's go back to the Republic of Ireland, because assistant manager John O'Shea speaking today saying they feel quietly confident ahead of Thursday's World Cup playoff against Czechia. So a win in Prague obviously keeps hopes alive of reaching the World Cup finals for the first time since 2002. Troy Parrott, he's set to lead the line following his hat-trick heroics in the win over Hungary in Budapest. And O'Shea says the AZ Alkmaar striker's form for club and country this season is down to his hard work.
Yeah, listen, I think it's Troy's reaping the rewards of the practice and dedication that he's given to himself and his career over the last few years. You've seen other players, other good strikers, have plenty of loan spells in English leagues, down whether it be League One and into the Championship. And it takes a few loan spells for everything to click in terms of obviously the mentality and physicality side of a player developing too. Game understanding, you would argue, was what Nathan would know as well from the under-21s, that Troy, that was always there with Troy, even from that underage capacity that he had for scoring goals. And then it was just a case of knuckling down, doing the hard yards, doing the work, making sure he was staying as fit as possible, and being clever enough to, I suppose, to pick his club, that he's gone to play his club football. He's playing in Europe as well, playing at that level. So he's been very clever and calculated about where he's gone to develop, and he's reaping the rewards.
There was a clip that the RTÉ archives put out today. I'm not sure, did you see this? They've delved deep for all the potential Republic of Ireland content they could find. And it's a piece from News Today back in 2013. Conor McNally is out reporting on a primary school game between kids in the same school. You saw this. It's before the 2013 All-Ireland final between Dublin and Mayo. So it's a bunch of Dublin kids, and one team is Dublin, the other team is Mayo. And in this mini All-Ireland, Mayo managed to book history and they beat Dublin on a scoreline of 3 goals and 8 points to 1 goal and 7 points. The star of Team Mayo, Troy Parrott. And he was interviewed by Conor McNally on the Astro, and he said that Dublin will win the senior game. But it's been doing the rounds on the internet today. Troy Parrott could win the All-Ireland for Mayo.
Yeah.
What can he actually do, to be fair, if this is what he's actually managed to achieve?
They're so maligned, aren't they? It's like, what did I say? It's amazing, that stuff. It's amazing how much that exists out there. But you know what I immediately thought when I saw that? And you know, like, so I don't know what age he would have been. I suppose that's 13 years ago. So like
11.
Yeah, it's like, I wonder how good he was then. I wonder, like, was it evident enough then? It's like, oh, this guy's, there's no stopping this fella.
But he's clearly like the character in the team. Like, even in the thumbnail of the video, he's the kid who's there holding the football. It's ball, it's my game. Nobody else is playing unless I say so. So he definitely had that confidence. And I think there's a bit of him actually playing a bit of GEA in that sort of Astro as well. In the report, it's out on the RTÉ archives. You go onto their website. More from the Ireland camp. Nathan Collins obviously likely to captain the side on Thursday, so he's been speaking this week. He says they're treating this game as a cup final.
Yeah, I think there's a belief. I think there's a strong motivation. I think there's an excitement. I think we all realise there's a chance that we can do something. I don't think anyone's thinking it's done. I don't think anyone thinks we're already there. I think we know how hard the game was in front of us on Thursday. We know how tough it's going to be. But as I said, that belief is there. And I think if we can carry what we've done since them games, it gives us a really good chance and puts us in a really good place to do so.
And then also, John Egan was up for media. He says they're going to be boosted in Prague by the large travelling Irish support.
Huge. You know, we're all Irish fans ourselves. If we weren't in the squad, we'd probably be trying to get a ticket, trying to go. So, yeah, it's fantastic, and it's great for everyone really to have something to look forward to. You know, that's what people want in life, and you know, we've managed to give ourselves a chance of, you know, going through. So we've got a massive game on Thursday, and everyone wants to be there. Everyone will be watching it. So yeah, it's brilliant, and the support home anyway is class, but especially away from home when you're travelling to, you know, places all over Europe and the world. Yeah, it means a lot to the players.
You're obviously one of the more experienced players in the camp now, along James and Robbie and a couple of others, and it's quite a young squad kind of as a whole. What can you offer those young players in such a huge game where they really haven't faced anything of this magnitude before?
I think it's just consistency and, you know, mentality. Just give it your best. If everyone gives 100%, that's all you can ask. you know, we all want the same results, so we all want to do everything we can to achieve that. So it's just about working as hard as you can, you know, and that'll, the rest will take care of itself.
Ben, that was you asking that second question there, I think.
Was it? Yeah, it was, yeah.
The return of Seamus Coleman under Hamer has been a really important juncture in this Ireland team. I wonder how important the John Egan return has been as well, not so much on the pitch, but just being around the camp and being that guy who's had so much experience, good and bad, throughout his international and club career.
Yeah, it's absolutely huge, and it's probably underestimated by people at home a little bit, arguably even ourselves a little bit, that he wasn't involved in that first camp, the draw with Hungary and the loss away to Armenia. And then he came into that camp where we lost narrowly away to Portugal in the last minute and the win at home to Armenia. So he came straight into that camp having not experienced the, I suppose, the magnitude of that Armenia defeat, which was absolutely off the charts, if you can remember, on the night. He didn't experience that, came in with a fresh face, albeit with the older head. And the guy who's been in playoff experiences before, he played in that Slovakia game under Stephen Kenny and the Denmark game as well before. So it's a guy who's been there at the top level for Ireland and didn't go through the downsides that this team faced. And he spoke actually quite well yesterday about how that loss away to Portugal was the turning point. And when it hit full time in that game, they were all in the dressing room together and they all kind of came to the agreement of, we can do this. Like, we just shown it there, we can do this. And when we face Portugal at home, we can do them. Do you know what I mean? We've shown when we came here, we have the ability to put up a performance against a team and keep them out and keep them well at bay, only for, you know, a little bit of lapsed concentration in the 91st minute. And when you have players like John Egan, James Coleman, Robbie Brady, who have literally been there, done that, worn the t-shirt and have played at every single level for Ireland, I think sometimes we forget the squad is still so young across the board and we're prone to forgetting that a lot. You probably can't quite describe the effect that those players will have on the lads around them, and the likes of the captain, Nathan Collins, who, like, we forget is only, what, 24 years of age, still so young. So it kind of alleviates pressure off his shoulders as well to have those players, especially in defensive areas, to kind of help, and he can offset stuff to them and they can give him tips for stuff as well. It's huge. It's probably, we can't quite comprehend the effect that he has.
Yeah, it's something as well that we're going to be covering over the next couple of days. Just to remind you, in case you haven't been listening to us for the last couple of days, is that we do have full live match commentary on Thursday night from the Fortuna Arena in Prague. It's a 7:45 kickoff, and it was announced today as well. Delighted to announce this today that Off the Ball are going to be providing live commentary of all senior international matches for the men's and women's national team over the next 3 years. So, pretty big one to kick off this agreement this Thursday, possibly the biggest ever. I just think this is the biggest thing that's ever happened ever. Like, just full stop. Oh, yeah. No, no caveat. No, I'm not caveating that whatsoever.
No, caveats. Will it be the same thing? You don't have to win. And then it's like Tuesday. But like Tuesday, just by any sporting metric, it would be even bigger again,
yes.
Obviously.
Mm. Yes.
Do you think you can get up that high again?
100%.
We'll have to
roll it through.
Thursday is the biggest thing that's ever happened in the history of humankind, unless they win. Then next Tuesday is the biggest thing that's ever happened in the history of humankind.
It's so funny. It's such a quick turnaround. Because it doesn't, yeah.
That's even, why the Czechs are resting players.
That's it. That's why the Czech won't play. I won't see a pitch on Thursday night. It's, yeah, because I don't know what way I'm wired. I'm always thinking about, yeah, okay, but it's the next, you gotta, it's like getting pumped up for an All-Ireland semi-final. Mm-hmm. It's like you got to get pumped up, you got to reach a level. But yeah, the idea that you kind of, at least then, there you got like 2 weeks or now that you can kind of go back down and come back up again.
We're going to be in the city tomorrow night, of course. Ben and I, we're going to be on one of the early flights to Prague tomorrow morning in Dublin Airport. You know, as somebody who's been to Prague before, you know, the old town is where it all happens, but it's a little bit mainstream, I think. So we decided that we wanted to get an Irish bar, but not in the old town. We wanted to go over the river, literally, and somewhere a little bit off the beaten path. So we're going to Prague 7 and to Sally O'Brien's Irish pub. So any Irish fans who want to get away from the hustle and bustle of the tourist-centric old town and wants to come over the river to the cool Sally O'Brien's Irish pub in Prague 7, then that's where we're going to be broadcasting live from tomorrow evening from 7 p.m. So from 8 p.m. Czech time. So if you've got any stories, any mad routes, you can get in touch. 087-9180-180 is our number, or just come along to Sally O'Brien's tomorrow evening. That's where we're going to be set up. To run you through some of the rest of today's sports news, then, we're going to stick with the football. Arsenal are going to take on Real Betis in a pre-season friendly in Dublin this summer. The side's going to meet at the Aviva Stadium on August the 5th. While in the Women's Champions League tonight, London rivals Arsenal and Chelsea are going at it in the first leg of their Women's Champions League quarter-final tonight. Holders Arsenal, they're going to be without captain Leah Williamson through injury, and it's an 8 p.m. kickoff. And then for Chelsea, Aggie Beaver-Jones faces a late fitness test, while skipper Millie Bright and Sam Kerr are amongst those ruled out. In rugby then, Connacht's Jack Carty is set to retire from rugby at the end of the season. He scored 1,260 points across 15 years for his home province. He won the Pro 12 title in 2016. He was also capped 11 times by Ireland, and he says he was fortunate to be part of the transformation of Connacht's fortunes. Meanwhile, the GAA has confirmed that tickets won't be going on general sale for the upcoming National Hurling League Division 1A and 1B finals. So it's going to be Cork defending their title against rivals Limerick at the Gaelic grounds on Easter Sunday in a doubleheader with the Division 1B decider between Clare and Dublin. Due to what the GAA has said is expected high demand, the tickets will be distributed through clubs in all four counties before potential sale to the public, should some remain unsold. Have you got your ticket?
No, I doubt it. It's a bad weekend for me. I don't know if I'll be able to get down to Limerick. I have to go. A friend of mine's getting married, and we'll have to go down that weekend to get suit measurements.
Okay, fair enough.
It might not work out.
Okay, on
that's probably too much information, but no, you know, I like to be transparent with you. I don't sound like I'm fudging it.
Exactly, it's a good excuse. It's a good excuse. You'll be forgiven for that. In the Camogie then, Kilkenny's Nolan Park is going to host the Division 1 League Finals on Sunday, April 12th. Dublin and Clare are going to contest the Division 1B decider at 12:15, while Galway and first-time finalist Waterford meet for the Division 1A title at 2:15. Jurgen Klopp has been speaking. He's been talking about links to Real Madrid. He's calling them nonsense. He's currently head of global football at Red Bull, but says he's got no contact from Real, but hasn't ruled out returning to management. There's also been news today that Paris Saint-Germain have submitted a request to the French league to postpone their game against title rivals Lens next month. That's in between the games with Liverpool. Atletico Madrid, meanwhile, have confirmed Antoine Griezmann will leave the club this summer to join MLS side Orlando. A deal in snooker has been confirmed for the Crucible to host the Snooker World Championship until at least 2045. And a couple of other bits and pieces here. Liam Rush could feature for Dublin's hurlers for the first time in 4 years this summer. The Irish Independent is reporting that the two-time All-Star is back in training with the panel ahead of the Leinster Championship. Rush worked under Dublin boss Neil O'Callaghan in winning the All-Ireland Club Championship title with Na Fianna. That'd be a hell of a boost, Arthur.
Absolutely. It's amazing. Yeah, a four-year gap at this stage is long. A long old time to be away from it, but as you're saying, almost your John Egan point, when you're kind of there on that upward trajectory, or it feels like it.
Mm.
Nice boost back in, really good boost.
For sure. Now, the news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets, contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction, maximum dosage 150 ml tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie, subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.